You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right, well, I'm stirred up. How about you? You know, I find if you just stay stirred up, you don't have to get stirred up. And it's just a whole lot easier to stay stirred up than it is trying to get stirred up. You know, it's kind of like cranking an old car. You know, it's better if it's just running all the time. You have to try to crank that thing. Just stay cranked up and you don't have to, you know, get started all the time. You ought to stay stirred up for Jesus. Stirred up about His Word. Stirred up about His goodness. You ought to keep fanning the flames, as it were. You know, keep the fire burning. Don't let it go out. It's hard to start a fire than it is to feed a fire. Isn't that right? You know, think about fires. Fires, if you just leave them alone, they go out. But if you just keep feeding them, they'll stay hot. They'll stay on, you know, you keep fanning those flames and keep putting wood on the fire, it'll stay hot. But now if you don't do anything, if you don't do anything, the fire will go out. So don't let the fire go out. Psalms 138, if you will turn there with me. I have something I want to share with you this morning about, well, couple things: integrity, God's integrity, the integrity of His Word, and a firm foundation. You know, one thing about God, you can trust God. You don't have to wonder about what God says. And that's what makes Him so great, is that He just does not lie. You know, it's hard to deal with a liar. It's hard to deal with you when you lie. It's hard to deal with me when I lie. You know, when we lie, you don't ever know what to do. You don't know if someone's not telling you the truth. They've been known to back off their word or not do what they say. And, you know, you don't have a high opinion of someone who doesn't follow through what they say and doesn't keep his word or her word. But you don't have to wonder about that with God. At least not in this church anyway. I know there are some churches that will tell you it doesn't matter what God says, God does whatever He wants. Well, that sounds good. God's God, do whatever He wants. But what God wants is what He says. Are you with me? God doesn't say one thing one another. He doesn't say one thing mean another. And so if He says He will do something, He will do it. Well, you never know what the Lord will do. Yeah, we do. We know exactly what He'll do. He'll do exactly what He says. And if we don't know that, how can we get up in the morning? You can never trust God. You don't ever know what the Lord's going to do. But no, we do know. God will do what He says. Contrary to us sometimes, God always keeps His word. Amen? And that's why we have such a high opinion of God. Because He's trustworthy when sometimes we're not. Amen? He'll do what He says when sometimes we don't. He's predictable when we're kind of unpredictable. Sometimes we feel like nuts, sometimes we don't. Are you with me? You know, we're moody. But God's not moody. No. If you can ever find, if you find something God said, you find some promise He made, and you go to Him with that promise, He will fulfill that promise. He will do what He says. He's God. Woo! That's called integrity. You know, integrity is keeping promises, keeping your word. It's just, you know, honesty is, anybody can be honest. Yeah, I missed it. Yeah, I did this and I did that. That's being honest. Integrity is not honesty. Honesty is just, you know, honesty is just telling the truth or conforming your words to reality the way it is. I'm just being honest, you know. But integrity is conforming reality to your words. In other words, making happen what you say. You said it, and you're going to do everything you can to make it happen. That's not honesty. That's integrity. That's keeping promises. That's doing what you say. Amen? And that's something you don't have to be concerned about when it comes to God. God doesn't just tell it like it is. You know, as far as things that happen, that just happen. No, God will make happen what He says. He'll make it happen. You know, if you give someone your word, you're going to do something, you go make it happen. You conform reality to your words. Honesty is just conforming your words to reality. This is a chair. The lights are on. Hallelujah, they're working. They hadn't been working the last couple of weeks, I heard. Man, I just go to Hawaii and the lights go out. I come back and the lights come on. Woo! I love it. So, you know, it's okay to be honest. You should be honest. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's everything right with being honest. But let's get past being honest and let's have integrity. Are you out there? You know, it's okay to repent. You should repent when you sin. But you know what? You ought to quit sinning. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm just saying that whatever it is you keep, you know, asking people to forgive you for, whatever it is you keep doing wrong, you say I'm sorry for, you know, why don't you finally get over it and quit doing it? Yeah, a couple of y'all thought that's a pretty good idea, didn't you? That's good, isn't it? And I know that takes work on our part. It takes commitment to something, principles. You ought to be ruled by principles, not by circumstance or whether it rains or doesn't rain, you know, whether you feel good or don't feel good. You ought to have principles of, you know, you're a person that's going to do what you say, and you're going to follow through, and you're going to be a man of God, and you're going to be a woman of God. You're going to beat this thing. Maybe it's a sin you're attacking and overcoming. Maybe you keep committing it, but praise God, you're going to stop this. You're going to get over this thing. Amen? You're going to get better at it, and you're going to get to where you don't do that anymore. Quit being so mean. Quit being so hateful. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you're not that committed to not being hateful, but you should be. You should not just say you're sorry when you chew someone out. You ought to quit chewing them out. Man, it's quiet in here. I ain't even read a verse yet. I mean, okay. Everybody ready? So Psalms 138, verse 1 says the Psalm of David, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing praise to you. Now, he didn't believe in other gods, obviously. There was only one God for him. He was just saying before all these other heathen pagan gods, I will praise you. You are the God. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day I cried out, you answered me and you made me bold with strength in my soul. Woo, hallelujah. I love that. Bold with strength in my soul. Now notice that verse before that, second verse. Your word or your truth, you have magnified your word above all your name. Above all your name. You know, people often say, well, the man's only as good as his name. No, the name's only as good as the man. In fact, your name is not some magic thing we put on someone or picture. Your name, when people, and I think of a name or I think of the person. I think of what they did, what they stood for, what they said, how they lived their life. You know, their name meant something, even when they go on. You mention their name, I think of the actions they performed and the words they did, they said, and what kind of a person they were. The name just represented the person. The person made the name. Are you with me? And we often say this, well, I'll go a step further. We'll say man's only good as his word, and that's true. That meant a whole lot more in the last generations, previous generations, than it does now. A man's only as good as his word. That is true, because if your word's no good, you're no good. If we can't trust each other, if we can't, you know, if we don't follow through with our promises to each other, a man's only good as his word. But let's go a little further than that. His word's only as good as he is. A man's word's only as good as the man is. And so God's only as good as his word, but his word's is only as good as he is. What kind of character does God have? What kind of integrity does God have? What kind of God is this that we serve? Well, that determines how good his word is. Amen? Does God lie? No. So his word's good. See, it's only as good as he is. He's not a God that he'd lie. The Bible says he's not a man that he'd lie. Think about it. But he does not lie. So his word is good. And his word's above his name, because what good is his name if his word is no good? Make sense? And I think about this too. Often we in these type churches, you know, we're full gospel, charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever you want to call us, tongue talkers. Believe in the gifts of the Spirit, believe in healing, believe in that the Bible's still relevant today, that the book of Acts is still going on. We still believe in all that. You know, often we'll talk about the name of Jesus, and we'll pray in the name of Jesus, and we should. And we'll say in Jesus' name, and we should. And, you know, when we pray, we end it with in Jesus' name. But God won't do anything in his name that he hadn't said in his word. We can't just say in Jesus' name. I'm trying to be crude, but I can't believe for someone else's wife in Jesus' name. That would be against his word. So I can say, well, I said in Jesus' name. All day long I can say that. But see, his word's magnified above his name. Nothing I ask in his name is going to happen if it's not in his word. Isn't that right? So he didn't. You can't just put his. How many people have done things in Jesus' name, or in the name of God? You know, and then we start blaming Christians for this and blaming God for that. Well, God didn't send them to do that. God didn't tell them to do that. They just used his name, but that wasn't him. Isn't that right? And so even when we pray, and we pray in the name of Jesus, which we should, because that's what the Bible says to do and tells us how to pray in the New Testament, that we're assuming, of course, when we pray in Jesus' name, that we're praying what he promised. Because he's not going to just do it because we use the name. But he will do it if he promised it and we use the name. Does that make sense? So he exalts his word above his name. Well, I'm just believing in Jesus' name. Well, what are you believing? That's a question we ought to ask. What are you standing on here? What promise are you asking him and confronting him and calling on him for and confessing and believing? What promise is it? Well, I don't know if there's a promise in there, but I'm just going to say it in Jesus' name. Well, it doesn't work that way. It has to be in his word. Amen? Because God is only as good as his word, and his word is only good as he is. And he's good. I'm telling you, you can trust him. Amen? He has what we would call integrity. Everybody say integrity. You know, integrity is, if you go with a dictionary definition of integrity, it's a firm adherence to a code. Or especially moral or artistic values. I mean, when you have integrity, you don't deviate from this code. You have this code, this ethos, this way of doing things, and you're not going to deviate from that. God doesn't. God doesn't compromise. If he says he does a certain thing, he does a certain thing. That's why he puts so much importance on living right and holy and forgiving people and loving people. And we gauge our life with that code of ethics. Is this really love? Is this what Jesus would do? Well, if it's not, need to repent of it, need to change, need to work on it. Amen. I've had to work on some things in my life. One time, about 11 years ago, I worked on one thing. But y'all out there? You know, I still hold very strongly the contingency or the idea that we need to put a Starbucks in the hallway out here on Sunday mornings to wake everybody up. So it helped me, even if the anointing didn't kick in, that maybe the caffeine would. Something would, you know, go on. No, but see, we have a code. God has a code. He doesn't deviate from it. It's a very strong, very very exact code that he adheres to. God will not violate what he says. He will not violate his word. That's called integrity. Another definition is an unimpaired condition or soundness, you know, like the integrity of something. You know, we talk about an airplane. When it falls apart, it lost its the integrity of the airplane. You know, it had a crack in a wing or something, it lost its integrity. We use those kind of terms concerning solidity, something that holds together. Isn't that right? And so if it lost its integrity, the quality of oneness or wholeness, then it breaks apart. The integrity of the group fell apart. The integrity of the plane, you know, fell apart. Then another one would be the quality or state of being complete and undivided. That's pretty similar to unimpaired condition. Completeness would be a synonym for that. Completeness, integrity. I love that. God, his integrity completes him, fulfills him, it makes him whole. It's who he is. And his word is complete. It has no cracks in it. It won't fall apart on you. You can buy a ticket on Word of God Airlines and never crash, okay? Because the integrity of the Word of God will hold you up. The wings won't fall off in the middle of your crisis. It'll stay complete and whole, and God will adhere to this code of ethics. What he says he'll do, he'll do. He will not lie to you. He will not hate you. He will love you. I don't know why, but he does. He's crazy about you. He loves you, and he stands behind you, and he backs you. And he undergirds you, and he strengthens you, and he makes you whole, hallelujah. He heals you, and he gives you peace when you cry out to him. And he shows up every time, and shows out every time. You can trust him. You can always call on him. You can always run to him. You can always come to him. God is like an anchor. Doesn't move. Ooh, praise God. Aren't you glad? Turn to Hebrews 1, speaking about in integrity, wholeness, soundness, completeness. His word, I love that, man. If you want a solid life, then have a solid word. Keep your word. Amen. If you want a solid relationship with God, then keep His word. I mean, and find out what His word says. Find out what He says, what He's about. Follow Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Watch Him, you know, as He walks the shores of Galilee, the streets of Capernaum, heals the sick, raises the dead, casts out devils, and stops storms. Watch this Jesus, this Son of the living God, this lover of our soul, the one who gave Himself, went all the way and gave His all for you and for me. No greater love than a man laid down his life for his friends. He laid His life down for us and rose again from the dead, conquered hell, death, and the grave, took the keys of hell and death from the devil, rose again and sat down on the right hand of God, making good for you and I our redemption. We are saved because of the integrity of God, because of His unfailing love for us, because He didn't give up, He didn't quit, He didn't back away, He didn't shy away, He didn't stagger at the cross, but went all the way for us and held true to His code, His word, what He said, to who He was. He held true to His love for us, His commitment to us. You know, God's faithful to us. I love that. He's not just faithful. We talk about Him being faithful to His word. He's faithful to us. He's made a vow to us. He's said things about us and His relationship to us, and He will not break that vow that He made to us. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to divorce you. No. He's going to hold true to you. Wow. Because of who He is. That's just who He is. God is love. And you call on Him, He showed up. You ask Him to come into your heart, He did. You confess Jesus as your Lord, and He became your Lord, and He is your Lord. And if you feel like, you know, God's far away, guess who moved? It wasn't Him. He's still there with His arms open. He's still on the road looking down, waiting for you, the prodigal, to come home, as it were, waiting for you to turn around. But He holds true. He is the faithful one, the true and the faithful one. Hebrews 1. I tell you, turn there. Man, I love Hebrews 1. In fact, I really should have turned there too after I told y'all to turn there, because that way there wouldn't be this pause. I'm filling in right now. See, I'm having to fill. Okay, Hebrews 1. God, who it's, King James says sundry times, means various times and divers manners, many manners, various manners, different ways. You know, used to, if you don't understand King James, I used to read King James all the time, and I still quote it. It still comes out of me because I read it for so many years, preached at it for so many years. But a lot of those words we just don't use. I mean, you know, you don't... You don't go to a restaurant and says, man, there's just diverse kinds of food here, you know. That means various, you know. Most people, you say divers, you think they're getting a scuba diving suit on, fixing to go under the water, whatever. But New King James says at various times, and that's what it means, at various times in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. That's the way God spoke. You know, the Old Testament, He'd send a prophet, and they would prophesy, and there were several prophets that would prophesy all throughout the Old Testament, a word from God, someone who declared what God said. And they lived, they died, they came, they went, and so on. But it says in these last days, second verse, He's spoken to us by His Son. I love that. So what God's saying today is Jesus. That's what He's saying. That's what He really always has been saying. And they just didn't know it until He showed up. And when He showed up, He was the Word made flesh, dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I hope you're not trying to live under that law. Now, we ought to be living right, and we ought to be doing right, and we ought to repent of our sin, and so on and so forth, but you and I can't live under that law. They couldn't live under it when they had it. It never was permanent. It never did make anybody righteous or holy. Hello. And it's passed away and been fulfilled in Christ. Hallelujah. And I can't live under the law. I can't keep the law. I can't. As soon as I get mad, I've already messed up. As soon as I say a wrong word, I've already messed up. I'm done. Stick the fork in. Lost. You know, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Down the chute. You're out of here. I mean, because none of us are perfect in that sense. But see, my salvation is built on something more solid than that. More solid than my word. My salvation is based on His word. It's more solid than than what I do. My salvation is not based on what I do. It's based on what he did. Are you with me? And there's no cracks in his integrity. He's complete and whole. His word's perfect. And so I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I don't have my own righteousness, but his righteousness that comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saved by corruptible things, wood, hay, and stubble, but the precious blood of Jesus saves me. Hallelujah. Something more solid, more concrete. Him. That's what God is saying today. In the last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, or in his Son. In other words, it's hard to translate. Really, what he's saying here is that his Son is the message. Jesus didn't just bring us a message, a carrier of message, a prophet who's speaking a message. No, Jesus is the message. Woo! He didn't just bring us a message. He is the message. And until you receive him, you hadn't received the message. Amen. Until you know him, believe on him, you haven't known and believed on the message. Because Jesus is the good news. Woo! And you follow him. He didn't lie to anybody. He didn't hurt anybody. You watch him. He healed people, forgave people, loved people. Woo! And went all the way. Went all the way for you and for me. Okay, it says, in these last days he spoke to us by his Son or through his Son or in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom he also made the worlds. I love that. Because you see, what made the worlds was God's Word, his Son, Jesus. Everything was made by him, for him. In the beginning was the Word, what John tells us, first verse. And the Word was God, and the Word was God, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things are made by him, that's what it says. So everything was made by the Word. That's the foundation. That's the integrity of this whole world, the whole universe. What holds everything together, he goes on the next verse and says this. He says, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah, somebody. Man, if that didn't light your fire, your wood's wet. He himself purged our sins. Did it all by himself. And he sat down on the right hand of God. When you sit down, the job's over. You're done. You're finished. You did it. That's over with. That's done. Your redemption's paid for. And he sat down on the right hand of God. Did it by himself. But what holds all this together, it says, upholding all things by the word of his power. It's all, the integrity of everything is God's word. If you want any integrity in your life, you need God's word. If you want wholeness and completeness in your life, you need God's word. If you want wholeness and completeness in your marriage, you need the word of God, because God upholds all things by the word of his power. If you don't know his word, you're subject to crack. That's why so many people crack up. Oh, really? Yeah, really. I'm saying, we were laughing, but it's true. When I crack up, I have deviated from God's word. I have not trusting somehow, not believing somehow. I got to looking at the problem more than I did him. I got frustrated, you know. You can do that with politics. Man, I have to watch that. You know, get into politics and watch things going on around the world and our country and get all upset and forget. You know, hey, wait a minute. If I trust God, God's going to take care of me. Are you with me? I can have concerns about the nation, and I should. And I should pray for our nation and our leaders. And I should vote and all those things that we talked about that today. We should do that. But we don't ever need to lose our confidence in God. We don't ever need to let fear come upon us. Are you kidding me? God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Amen? So I don't have to fear about tomorrow. And I don't have to fear about next week because of God's integrity. Because God upholds all things by the word of his power. As long as I stay true to his word and believe his word and trust his word and trust him, then I'll have integrity and wholeness and completeness in my life. Woo! Amen? That's you know, scientists, this is amazing to me, or I don't know the exact field, physicist or whoever studies atoms, you know, and they go down to, you know, they've studied protons and neutrons, electrons, that's what we learned in school, and then they find out later Because everybody, it seems like everybody gets smarter. You know, what's the deal? They learn more stuff. You know, things we talked about in school, they don't, it's a little deeper now as far as sciences are concerned. Now they've discovered things smaller than electrons and protons and neutrons. They call them quarks, you know, and Z particles. And what in the world's all that, you know? I mean, they talk about sending radio waves out past the pulsars and the quasars. Man, you're just getting way deep for me. I mean, that was just... But they find these little things, but they don't understand why an atom, what holds it together. Now, this is amazing to me because you know how many billions of dollars we spend on splitting an atom? The superconductor, you know, where they split atoms. And yet, we really don't know what it is, what mysterious force keeps it from falling apart. What makes it all hold together? Yeah, we spend billions of dollars trying to split one. Yet we don't know what holds it together. And see, I know what holds it together. God's Word. They just never called me. If they would have called me, I would have told them. Right here it says that He upholds all things by the word of His power. That's why you don't just fall apart. That's why when you step out, you don't just shoot up to the moon. You know, we call it gravity, but I mean, still, there's a lot more than just gravity going on. And why, you know, your fingernails just don't pop out and fall and fly off somewhere. What holds you together is the word of His power. It holds everything together. And it will hold your life together if you will make it the foundation of your life, if you'll make it the core of your life. If you have this kind of integrity that you won't violate the principles of God's word, your code of ethics will be, I will not do anything beyond what God says. I won't violate what God says. I won't step over the line here. I won't do that because God says don't do that. But I will do this because God says do this. Are you with me? And every time you do what God says, you increase your solidity and your completeness and your whole. You become more complete and whole and you have more integrity. The more you serve God, the more integrity you have. I love that. That is so good. And so now your name means something. When your name's mentioned, I do. We're talking about Granny. You know, Wanda's mother's gone on to be with the Lord. But when you think, I think of Granny, and Brenda mentioned it, you just think about her praying, talk about all she's praying for, and she's always praying for somebody and something. And, you know, she loved the services when she did get to come. She loved the anointing. She loved the Word. You know, I mean, that's what that I think about what she stood for. I think about what she did. Her name means something. Her name's just not some picture. Her name was formed in my mind by what she said and what she did. And so when we say God, we think about what He says, what He does. Amen? And we say Jesus, it's not a magic word, like saying please at the table. Jesus is a person in the Bible that we can read about that died for our sins and rose again. And hopefully you've met and know Him. Amen? But He is more than just a name. He is the sum total of His actions and His words. And boy, I tell you what, God always does what He says. Amen? And He holds all things together by the power of His Word, by the word of His power. Your life will be held together if you'll put God's Word first. No question. It'll be like a firm foundation. You know, you think in Greek mythology they had Atlas, you know, holding up the world, bent over under the strain of holding the world. You ever seen that picture of him holding the world up? And we kind of get that idea when we say Atlas, we think of maps. You know, that's just a Greek god's what that was that held up the world. Well, the world's not held up by Atlas. It's held up by God's Word. And the reason your word's falling apart, if it is because the Word is not first in your life. And it should be. It can be, it should be, and it will be if you'll make that decision to find out what God says about your situation and begin to institute it into your life and start trusting God. Man, I'm tired of all the cracks in the foundation. Terrible thing. When the foundation starts cracking, everything else starts cracking, doesn't it? I mean, when the core of your life starts messing up, just like a slab starts messing up, the walls start cracking, the sheetrock starts cracking, the doors don't close. I mean, wake up one morning, you can't get out of your bedroom. That's kind of, I guess you experience it. You say, sometimes we feel like we can't get out of the mess we're in. Well, Well, the foundation's cracked. Just fix the cracks in the foundation, you can get back out again. You can get out of that mess you're in. Amen? That's better preaching y'all are amen. 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter. Turn there. Don't get anything out of this? Well, you need to tell your face. Okay. Help me out here. 1 Corinthians, that's good stuff. Thank God for a firm foundation. That's not Atlas holding up the world. It's that, in fact, it's a little song you sang in Sunday school, some of you may have, years ago, is more accurate. He's got the whole world in his hands. He does, not Atlas. Amen? And even further than that, more true, say, than just his hands, it's in his word, the hands of his word. It's in the hands of his integrity. If God's word fails, this world will fail. See, that's why we go on, and we never die, because God's word never dies. He'll never violate his word. He'll never lie to you. He'll never back off what he said. Amen? Woo, he has integrity. Now, this is fascinating here. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 says, we are laborers or builders together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. I love that. I'm God's building. But I'm also a laborer together with God. You know, we can't just say, just leave it up to God. No, we have to enter into a relationship with God and fellowship with God. I mean, we can't just leave it to his word. We have to believe his word. We have to say his word. We have to do his word. So we're laborers together with God. Amen? There are three kinds of people in the world. People that make things happen. People that watch things happen. People don't know what's happening. Most people don't know what's happening. And a lot of people just watch what's happening. But God's looking for people that'll make things happen. And they make it happen with his word. They work with God. You know, the word works for those that work the word. You know, some people say, well, the word just doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work if you don't work it. But it always works for those that work the word. God remains unchanged. He remains whole and complete. He remains, his integrity is intact. The reason it's not working for us is because our integrity is not right. We're not trusting him. We're not believing him. We're not entering into an agreement with him. So it says we are laborers together with God. Y'all see that? According to the grace of God, 10th verse, which is given to me, is a wise master builder. Paul's speaking about him preaching, teaching, leading the Corinthians to the Lord. He said, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereupon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. When you pour a slab, then you build on that slab. Isn't that right? And he says, I come and I've laid the foundation. I've poured the concrete slab, as it were. And I think it's fascinating. The 11th verse says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. My salvation is on the slab of Jesus Christ, not on me. It's on what he did. And everything I do now is built on that. And that's what saves me, is that slab with no cracks in it, the kind that Glenn pours. Okay. Amen, brother. But everything, it doesn't matter what else you build. If that slab's messed up, we got problems. Isn't that right? You wind up having to redo the walls and rehang the doors and repaint and paint and putty cover a multitude of sins. But the slab is the utmost important. That's the first thing you got to lay, and you got to lay it around. You got to get it right. Well, now, thank God, the salvation thing, God, when God did it, he did it right. It wasn't based on you, it was based on him. It's based on what Jesus did, not what you did. And you've built now your house. As a Christian, I build on that. But I don't save myself. There's nothing I did to save me. That foundation no man can lay. That foundation is Jesus Christ. That's the integrity now of my life. I need to build on that, just like it was built, like it was trusting him. That's what got that slab poured. I need to build these walls trusting him. I need to put this roof off on trusting him, believing him, putting my total faith in him like I did when I got saved. And the more I do that, the more solid my house will be. Isn't that right? So if I want integrity in my house that I build, my marriage that I build, my family that I build, my business that I build, if that's the case, or the church that we build or whatever, we got to build it like the slab was built, trust in Jesus. Integrity, that puts integrity in the walls and in the roof. Woo! Hallelujah. And that comes down to trust in his word. Man, I don't even have time to finish this. It's 12 o'clock already. going to have to pick this up next week, because this, I mean, I got some stuff I want to say, ooh, but I just don't have time. Don't have time. This will be the hook to get you in next week, you know. But we need a firm foundation. We need integrity, amen? And it comes from God. It comes from trusting God. How many of you want a better life? Better marriage? Better business? Come on, more peace, whatever the case may be. Well, you know what? You need your core. You need your center, which is Jesus. You need that to permeate everything you do. And that'll fill in the cracks and give you completeness and wholeness, and you need to adhere to the code. Amen? The code of God's Word. Because He exalts His Word above His name. Hallelujah. And He upholds all things by the Word of His power. And everything, our whole life, our salvation is built on this slab. Now let's build the walls the same way. Amen?